This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, a big, big moment for Joe Biden. His address to Joint Congress, that means 200 people social distancing. If you think of Congress and you think of the senators and the Congress folks that were able to be there normally, you'd have like 1,000 people that would be crowded in to this kind of an event, especially the first one out of the gate. Certainly, gun control came up, as did immigration, as did the coronavirus and the vaccine availability, as did jobs, as did the tax to pay for a very big overhaul when it comes to infrastructure and some other things included in the president's pet project. There was reaction from Tim Scott. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what Biden had to say in this first one, things that I don't think were surprising. Some of it was already leaked out. We had talked about that in a previous show, and intentionally that, of course, is leaked out. The upside of this is I saw a headline that said Bidenhood. So that's a take on Robin Hood if you're a little sleepy. Tax the rich, give to the poor, and trillions more for the people that are sandwiched in between the working class, the blue collar worker, more taxes for the corporations. This is nothing new. This has been talked about for months. It was just re-emphasized. And gun control or closing loopholes and having the assault ban again with the help of Republicans was pushed. There was reaction from many Republicans as to what Joe Biden had to say. We'll talk about that, too. So there were some pretty big bets, I'm going to say, that were put on the board. A lot of it was about shifting money around and who's going to pay for it, because that's always the main thing you think about, right, is, well, who's paying for that? Who's paying for that? And he was pretty adamant that, I've already said this, that if you make over $400,000, your taxes are going to go up. If you're a corporation, you're going to pay more. And he emphasized that many had not paid, and that in 2017, there was a big tax break for corporations. And now here it was these many years later, and that $2 trillion was never, ever accounted for. Instead, it became part of the deficit. And in Bidenhood, he's saying that's not going to happen here, because it's about shifting the money and taking the taxes from those who have not been taxed. Here's what he had to say about COVID and the vaccines and now what's happened.
There's still more work to do to beat this virus. We can't let our guard down. But tonight, I can say, because of you, the American people, our progress these past 100 days against one of the worst pandemics in history has been one of the greatest logistical achievements this country's ever seen. What else have we done in those first 100 days? We kept our commitment, Democrats and Republicans, of sending $1,400 rescue checks to 85% of American households. We already sent more than 160 million checks out the door. It's making a difference. You all know it when you go home. For many people, it's making all the difference in the world.
All right, so again, moving ahead with the COVID-19 vaccinations, which he urged all Americans to get and to spur economic growth. America is moving forward, we can't stop now. That was a quote from that speech. He promoted his economic plans to the public, including the new Americans Family Plan, which is paid for, as I've already mentioned, by raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans, and his $2.3 trillion infrastructure package that includes new spending on bridges, roads, broadband, internet, and the massive spending proposals he says are necessary to help the nation's economy and workers, saying that this is a once-in-a-generation investment in our families and our children. The rebuttal was Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, the Republican senator, who said Biden wasn't attempting to govern in a bipartisan fashion. He said a president who promised to bring us together should not be pushing agendas that tear us apart. And he talked about the fact that America is not a racist country. And he said, my friends across the aisle seem to want the issue more than they want a solution. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, one of a handful of Republicans who sometimes joins with the Dems to applaud President Biden during his speech, he did that a few times, said afterward that his plans were too expensive to be bipartisan. This is a quote from her. She said, you have pretty expansive spending on top of spending, but the only way to pay for it is to go after taxes. I think it makes it difficult for it to be truly bipartisan. Senator Rob Portman, Republican from Ohio, who's a centrist, I would call him, said some of the discussion about working together on infrastructure and potentially on criminal justice issues, including police reforms, was positive, but we've heard it before, and it hasn't resulted in bipartisan action, specifically on COVID-19. On other issues, this was from Portman, he said, I mean, there's just a lot of talk about new spending and a lot of talk about new taxes. I worry about the economy being able to handle that. So I just disagree with the president on higher taxes, He did say, I think on background checks, there's a possibility. There's some discussion going on to tighten up background checks so that people shouldn't get guns that get them. They shouldn't get them. So that part, he said he could see some bipartisanship on very specific things, but on others, no. So you can tell there's not going to be Republican support, and that's not a surprise on the raising taxes. By the way, there was a funny moment because the camera, of course, would shift around to Republicans depending on what the president was talking about, and Ted Cruz had a hard time keeping his eyes open. He was nodding off while the president was laying out plans for rebuilding the U.S. And the camera caught Ted Cruz needing a strong cup of coffee or that five-hour energy. Maybe he should have had some of that in his pocket when he was there in the chamber. I think it's going to probably become the next meme because, of course, Bernie was the last one, the senator from Vermont. Bernie was seen when he was freezing at the inauguration in all kinds of different poses with different people and in different scenarios, and I think that's what's going to happen with Ted, Ted Cruz. And Cruz did say that Biden's joint address to Congress was boring but radical, so he had no problem. He kind of woke up when he was asked about it, and he said there was things he didn't say. He didn't say we're opening up small businesses. He didn't say we're getting people back to work. He didn't say we're getting kids back in school. Completely missing from his remarks tonight was the outrage that more than half the kids in America are not in person in school 5 days a week. Well, that is true. People are very upset about that. Go to the mailbag next.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
.com. Powdy Arco tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Look at the mail, man.
Embrace the applause. That's for all of you. 24/7, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. It's just that easy. Rudy Giuliani got woken up early in the morning, and some of you had some things to say about that, as his house was rifled from top to bottom. So what was it all about? Some pro for Giuliani, some saying it's about damn time. Ooh. The about damn timer was Chris listening to us in Iowa, and he says, Kate, I am a fan of what Donald Trump has mostly did when he was president. There were some things that I didn't like that he did, but I voted for him twice, and I'm fine with that. But he has a lousy taste in who he picks to represent him. Rudy Giuliani has just lost his mind. It's no surprise that the feds raided his New York City apartment. And what were they hunting for? They were hunting for something, that's for sure. And they really apparently tore it up, and they rustled everybody up that was there in his home. And then there was a lot made about this raid and what they're trying to get from their investigation. I think it's mostly tied to the Ukraine, and the whole Hunter Biden thing probably was part of that too. So his son went berserk over this, and I don't know that anything really comes of it, but it might have just been a sort of a power play. 6 o'clock in the morning. Rudy, Rudy, are you up? Yeah, crazy search warrants with, you know, the whole idea was that they were seizing electronic devices, and that it's material covered by the attorney-client privilege and constitutional privileges and all that kind of stuff. So one of the things that Rudy's lawyer said is he respects the law. He can demonstrate that his conduct as a lawyer and a citizen was legal and ethical. So, you know, that's from his lawyer, Robert Costello, of what happened, and that a lot Costello and Giuliani's son said that they're running roughshod over the constitutional rights of anyone involved in or legally defending the former president, Donald Trump, and that it's outrageous that that this has gone that far, so the hatred has driven to unjustified and an unethical attack on a guy who was mayor, who did more to reduce crime than virtually any other human in American history. And it was, again, reportedly tied, the reason for the raid, tied to an investigation into whether Giuliani illegally lobbied, you know, for Trump on behalf of officials and oligarchs in the Ukraine, where the former mayor went to dig up dirt against Hunter Biden when Joe Biden was then the candidate and not the president. So what comes of it? Well, of course, at this point, you certainly don't know. All right, got another one here from Anna, who says, Kate, listen to the show through my boyfriend, who's been listening to you for a long time. I have to say, there are times when I laugh out loud and enjoy your banter with some of the people that you have on the show and some of the authors. So the Giuliani thing, I used to live in New York, and my father talked about what a badass he was as far as crime was concerned and how awful the city used to be. And, of course, 9/11, I would have been of age. I had come of age, and we all saw what happened there. I know that you've talked about working there and what it was like in Manhattan and other areas of New York. And he was tough and gritty, and he was there for everybody, and he was the calming face in the storm. And now you look at Rudy Giuliani, and he just seems to be the target because of the fact that he represented Trump and because of the fact that he definitely went to the Ukraine trying to find something on Hunter Biden. So now I guess he's paying the price for that. If they shook the rafters, so to speak, at 6 a.m. and they were looking for hard drives or they were looking for some kind of evidence, I don't know that they're going to get anything. You think that a guy like Giuliani, if there was anything to get, would certainly not be sitting there in his house, as he's somebody who knows the law. Yeah, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's, thanks for that, the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office is conducting the investigation. They didn't comment on Wednesday's raids of his apartment and his law office, too, by the way, because they went through the law office, too. But like I said, his son had something to say about to the media that it was ridiculous and unfounded, and as did his lawyer, that, you know, that this was unprecedented, unwarranted, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it definitely popped up on the radar screens of all of us because it was breaking news. So you woke up and you saw, oh, Rudy Giuliani's house has been raided, right? Is the FBI abusing its power? Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew, says it's disgusting and that it is an abuse. All right, we move from that to this, and this is from Ralph. Hi, Kate. I have never emailed you before, but I felt compelled to email you. I like it when you go into the man cave. I like it when you do the mic drops, and I like some of the segments in between, and I like the fact that you do say it's about the buzz in your backyard and mine, although sometimes I'm sure the buzz is different depending on where we all live. But we do live under the shroud of the pandemic and what's happening with the government and what's happening with your local government and what we are now able to do and things that we couldn't do before and all of our opinions about the vaccine and side effects or does it completely protect us or not. What are your thoughts about J&J after now more and more keeps coming out about the vaccine do you feel fortunate that that's not the one that you got? That's like a loaded question. Do you feel fortunate you didn't get it? You know, it's funny about the vaccine. It's not funny, but people try to compare, well, you got this one and I got that one, and Moderna's supposed to be better, or Pfizer's supposed to be better, or they didn't have as many side effects, and Johnson & Johnson, it's, you know, unfortunately, the fact that the blood clot thing, I mean, it's women, it's been women, but apparently UCSF treated the first instance of a man developing a blood clot after the J&J vaccine. So the Centers for Disease Control and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration lifted the pause on the vaccine on Friday. They decided to pause it because of the cases of this rare blood clotting found in six women between 18 and 49 who had gotten the shot. But then you hear about more people. There have been 15 cases total of it, and they reviewed the benefits and the risks of the vaccine, an independent committee to the CDC recommending to continue to administer it, but with additional information about the rare possibility of TTS. I have to say that does not make you feel comfortable. Even if you talk to any doctor or medical person and you look at the numbers and they run the numbers and say, well, that's such a small percentage. Look at the overall, you know, the overall people who have been vaccinated with this and their reactions to it. And you'll see that it makes sense to take the pause off, that it actually is pretty rare. And this one-dose vaccine can be incredibly successful, and it is a very low risk. But, I mean, here's the thing. You hear about it, and 15 cases out of 8 million shots is low risk, but I don't know, blood clot, clotting disorder, the combination of blood clots and low platelets or whatever, even though it's rare, it's serious. You know, three people died out of the 15. Seven are still in the hospital, four in critical condition. So the comparison thing, I think, is sort of upside down because you're not going to feel comfortable with that. You know what it's like? It's like, and I never want to know this, and this is maybe a stretch in this analogy, but it's like when I went to Hawaii to bury my mother, and we had a handful of family members and a small group and a couple of her friends, and it was nice, and, you know, it was a sad time, and it was a send-off for her. But she loved that area in Maui. But sharks were starting to show up there. And there was one attack, somebody died, somebody else was in the hospital. And yeah, it's rare, but did we want to swim where the sharks were? Not really. You know, not really. Meet you on the flip side.
Are you alone in the turbid tide, trying to ride on the good wave? You dream we're all.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Speaking to a joint session of Congress Wednesday night, President Joe Biden touted the effort to vaccinate Americans against COVID-19 and urged more people to go get vaccinated.
90% of Americans now live within 5 miles of a vaccination site. Everyone over the age of 16, everyone is now eligible to get vaccinated right now, right away. Go get vaccinated, America.
He also unveiled the details of his American Families plan. In the Republican response, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott called the plan another costly intrusion into American lives.
The beauty of the American dream is that families get to define it for themselves. We should be expanding opportunities and options for all families, not throwing money at certain issues because Democrats think they know best.
This is USA Radio News. President Biden laid out his legislative agenda Wednesday night in an address to a joint session of Congress, which came with varied reactions from across the political spectrum. Senator Ted Cruz called the evening's address boring but radical. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that he believes the president has purposefully tried to speak quietly while pushing an extreme agenda.
You know, I challenge you to remember a single line from the speech. I mean, it was monotone. The chamber was nearly empty. And that really has characterized the first 100 days of Joe Biden, that he's tried to say nothing notable. He's tried to tweet nothing notable. I think that made the political decision that many people were tired of the drama of the previous 4 years, and they wanted something calm. And so, but Joe is deliberately being boring. But the substance of what he's saying is radical. This is the most radical first 100 days of any president in the history of this country.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with. And then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Excited to go to New Zealand to talk to my pal. I hope I can say pal. And that would be Len Wilson. And he has written an incredible book. I say it's incredible because it makes you want to just travel. You don't even want to stay home. As soon as everything opens up, we're headed for all the places that he's been, or at least maybe one or two if we're lucky. And his book is called Dear Mr. Len. And thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Kiora. And, welcome to talk to me, and I'm coming to you from New Zealand.
New Zealand, the best. Okay, so you already live in a great place, but here's the thing. Your book was really kind of started, the idea, because your friends kept telling you, right, you were such a great storyteller that you needed to write about all these adventures and all the countries and places you've been.
Yeah, that's how it started. I've been telling funny stories to people based on fact for about the last 40 years. And they always laugh, and people keep saying to me, even a few days ago someone said to me, you should write a book. Well, so I got grounded in New Zealand because our country was locked down over the coronavirus. So I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I started writing short stories. And at first I thought I would just send them out to magazines, newspapers, or airlines put in their in-flight magazines, but I kept writing more and more stories until finally I had 40. And then I thought, oh, I've got a book. And since then, I've written another book. My second book is called Solly, S-O-L-L-Y, Mr. Len. It's called Solly because Chinese have difficulty saying R, and a lot of the book is based in China. And, I've been writing for about the last 40 years. I've written 3 school textbooks, and maybe about 100 articles for magazines and newspapers. So,
wow.
Done a book.
Wow. And you've traveled to so many countries. How many countries have you been to exactly? And this is a hard question, but what's your favorite?
Oh, okay. I've been to about 90 countries, and it's hard to say what my favorite country is. I particularly liked Italy, Greece, and Turkey because of the cuisine, the history, the culture. I like Ecuador because of the mountains, the scenery. I thought it was stunningly beautiful country. One of my favorites is New Zealand. That's why I live here.
Ah, so did you just know, like, hey, this is it. This is home. New Zealand is it. So, of course, I've been all over the place, and I come back to paradise.
Well, that's right. I go out a lot. I've been overseas so many times that if I had to measure the amount of flights I've taken, I could probably say that I've been to the moon and back. My first trip was to China in 1977. I went on a student delegation. But most of the time when I travel, I'm what is called a FIT, F-I-T. That means a free independent traveler. So I avoid traveling with groups unless it's completely impossible to travel otherwise. So I just take my bag and wander. And when you do that, things happen to you. You get lost, you get robbed. You meet crazy people. So I quite enjoy just grabbing my bag and flying somewhere and then start walking and see what happens.
Tell us about one of your adventures in China. What's it like in China? A lot of people want to go there. It's been on their list, but they haven't been there. And of course, now we're, as you mentioned, we can't travel. So give us a China story.
Oh, well, my wife is Chinese, but I met her here in New Zealand. The first time I went to China in 1977, we met a very famous man. His name was Ray Wee Ali. And he was a famous New Zealander who had gone to live in China in the 1930s. And he traveled the country. He wrote poetry. He wrote about 30 books about China. One of his most famous books was called Traveling in China. And he popularized China at a time when China was out of favor. So I'll never forget the night I met Ray Wee Ali. Since then, I've been to China about 8 more times, and there's huge changes in China, perhaps the most change I've ever seen in any country. Because in 1977, when I went to China, people were wearing identical green suits, Mao suits, little green caps, and they were riding on bicycles. And nowadays, they're living in high-rise buildings and driving nice cars, and the change is overwhelming in China. It's one of my favorite countries.
You know, it's interesting, too. You and I talked about this. You went to North Korea, and in your book you say, and your book is Dear Mr. Len Wilson, that's who we're speaking with. You can get it on Amazon. In your book you say, travelers are rare with as few as 2,000 visitors per year. This made North Korea one of the world's most isolated and least visited countries on Earth. But you got to go there. What was that like?
Oh, that was incredible. I went to North Korea via China with a company called Foro Tours. And North Korea only gets about 2,000 visitors a year. And North Korea often shuts its borders, so you're lucky if you get in. I thoroughly enjoyed visiting North Korea. I had to travel in a group. Mr. Kim was at the front of the group, and Ms. Kim was at the back of the group. And you couldn't escape the two Kims. When you got taken back to your hotel, you weren't allowed to go out again. That was it for the day. I tested that by walking towards the entrance, and I got red flagged by a guard. So I hastened back to my room. They cut my water off, I think, in retaliation. North Korea was fascinating. I got to be on North Korean TV. They used me in their propaganda. The group were invited to lay flowers at the statue of Kim Il-sung. So I thought, well, I'll do that. So I bought a flower, and I stepped forward, and I lay a flower at beneath his big toe. A man was following me with a camera. Ms. Kim said, you're going to be on TV tonight. Let's go and watch. So I watched TV news, and there I was walking forward and placing a flower at beneath the statue of Kim Il-sung. And Ms. Kim translated the news to me. It said, the great leader commands so much respect that people come from all over the world to lay flowers at a statue on the anniversary of his birthday. So I thought to myself, good God, I'm on North Korean TV, and I hope the CIA don't get to see this.
Another place that you went to, and the chapter's called Dirty Money and Silly Regulations, is Myanmar, which, of course, was known as Burma in the past. And you talk about foreign banknotes had to be in pristine condition. So that would be an interesting conversation to have with your banker. Tell me about that. Why is that?
Well, that was very difficult because I had U.S. dollars, and for some reason, U.S. dollars are often soiled. So they've even got a little scribble on them, or they've got a staple hole in them, but there's usually something wrong. And in Myanmar, they wouldn't accept my U.S. dollars. I had heaps of them, but they rejected the lot. And I had to fall back on a pristine $1,000 Singaporean banknote, which they accepted. And some serial numbers they wouldn't even accept. And then in return, they would give you the most filthy money you could imagine, like it was all dirty and sellotape together. But your foreign banknotes had to be absolutely pristine. And we stayed at a we bought a room in a motel and traveled about 3 or 4 hours to that motel. And we liked it so much we decided to extend our visit. But the staff there couldn't do that, so we had to talk to the people we bought the ticket off back in the capital, Yangon. So, and there were about 4 people at the reception, and none of them could extend that room for us, even though we were perhaps only about 3 or 4 people staying there at that motel. So they had all these crazy bureaucratic things going on, which no one could explain.
Wow. You know, so you go from that with the pristine money to Laos, and which, oh, that's on my list, and probably some of you listening, a land of a million elephants, and you talk about that, and you say these things called UXOs, or unexploded ordinances, are there. And this is this country that's a devoutly Buddhist country with a long history, as you write, but sad recent past. Tell us about those cluster bombs.
Oh, that's a very sad story in my book, because these unexploded ordinances that originate from a cluster bomb, they're all through the jungles. And what happens is, during the Vietnam conflict, Laos was one of the most bombed places on earth because the Americans were trying to blow up the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So they just bombs just rained down, cluster bombs. And these days, the jungle is full of these little, they call them bombies, and they're like tennis balls. And people are in search of scrap metal. So they will be wandering in the jungle, and they will pick up one of these bombies, and it'll explode. And they'll lose an arm or get blinded by it. And I think something like 2 or 3 people every month get injured from picking up a bombie. So what I was going to do is I was going to donate a significant amount of my royalties to the, I think it's called the Cope Center, where they are trying to assist victims of bombies. I went there, and I was very upset with what I saw.
Wow, I bet. Boy, you've really had a front row seat to many wonderful things, though. There's no question about it, and it's all in your book, Dear Mr. Lin, and you can pick it up on Amazon. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, Lin?
Oh, I hope they gain some knowledge about the outside world. I hope they learn about countries that maybe they can't travel to, and I hope they laugh and feel happy and get cheered up, because the world's a bit of a sad state right now. So, yeah, I hope they enjoy the book, have a bit of fun with it, learn something from it, and just enjoy it.
All right, I love it. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. And as we say here in New Zealand, kia kaha, which means stay strong.
I like that, kia kaha. Thank you.
My pleasure.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In our virtual green room right now, Bonnie Faust is with us, and she's written a book called Oren Bunny Meets Essie Bear, a story of Essie Frances Thayer Bear and how she teaches Oren to tap away the mad. This is really so significant if you know about tapping. Great for children. And honestly, I've seen the miracle that it's that how it's worked for adults too. So this book taps into something that I think is very, very important. Bonnie, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So first of all, let's talk about tapping for people who don't know what that is.
Okay, you can also call it EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And if they were to Google EFT, they would find tapping everywhere. My daughter even just showed me TikToks where kids are tapping to music and all kinds of things. So tapping has become pretty mainstream. And the whole concept is instead of acupuncture, it's acupressure. And you're just tapping certain meridian points on your face and body, and that just kind of breaks up that energy issue.
Yeah, so in breaking up the energy issue and then talking about your character, so let's dive into the book. What made you decide to write this book?
Well, I was a special ed teacher for over 20 years, and I taught from preschool special ed all the way through up to high school. And one of the things that I always found was that emotional connection kids had could prevent them from learning. And so what I did is I taught them how to tap, and then we would also tap. So we would tap on if they were getting angry or frustrated or upset. And then we'd also tap on their beliefs. For example, when it was time for reading and I was teaching second grade and I knew these kids didn't want to do this. So we would tap and say things like, Mrs. Faust is going to make me read again today. Yep, I really hate reading. And as we tapped on that, then we put in the positive, like, but I read pretty good yesterday. I guess I can really read okay, you know. So it would just kind of break the ice and just kind of get them feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, and the characters, developing the characters, a bunny, a bear, is that because of our, I mean, I like bunnies and bears. I think people are, they're animals, different kinds, but that we're attracted to.
Right, right. And I've always wanted to have a bear for Kathy. The things like kids are drawn to bears. So I think the bear just kind of came out of my world. And so I put hearts on her. And so she's got hearts on her face where you're supposed to be tapping. So you can tap on her, literally on Essie, or you can tap on yourself, or you can tap on yourself for your child. So it's really interesting. So it acts as a surrogate for the tapping. And Oren Bunny just seemed to be right. She's named after my grandson. And so, it just worked well.
What do you hope that kids get out of reading the book? And I think we're talking about it, but what do you hope they get out of it?
Oh, well, one of the things I really see is that not just kids, but everyone in our world right now is very stressed. And they were stressed when I wrote this book, but it's even become more so with COVID and everything happening around us. And so with this tapping, I just want to help children learn a skill that would kind of give them relief from some of the stress and anxieties and frustrations and overwhelm that they're feeling right now. And then as the parents read the books to the younger children, the parents learn how to do this as well. And if you've got an older child, the older child can read the book to the younger child, and they learn how to do this. So it's for everyone, but I kind of geared it for kids because they just need something. They just need help. And this is the social-emotional skill that I think is really important.
Yeah, is it tougher as you being a special ed teacher knowing from the past now that you, with the learning, is so much of it is remote, that has to make it even harder.
Oh, it is. I didn't have to deal with that as I retired a few years ago, but, oh, and this is for the teachers as well. There are teachers right now who are using tapping. They were using tapping in their classroom prior to this, but now they're also using tapping just to help the kids get settled and kind of get organized for the day before the class begins. You can tap on testing anxieties. You can tap on just being upset, fearful, whatever you need to do. And teachers are picking up on that, and the whole class can tap, even on Zoom. They can all be tapping.
I love that. The reaction to your book, I would imagine, has to be pretty fantastic. I think the more people that get a hold of it, the better, especially in education. But it's so unique.
It is. It is. And in fact, Essie has traveled to all kinds of states. Of course, she's in Illinois where I am, but she's in Wisconsin, Colorado. She went to California, New York, Georgia, Texas, Maine. And recently, she just went to Singapore.
Wow.
Yes. So she's getting out there, and people are finding out about her. And it's just a simple, gentle way for folks to give a skill and to learn a skill just to help out a little.
Yeah. I'd be remiss not to ask you this. You're in Shannon, Illinois, and it's a small metropolis, I'm going to call it. And so you must be the big celebrity. You're probably pretty famous, I'm going to say.
Well, actually, not so much. You know how that goes when you're not an expert until you're like 50 miles away kind of thing? But I am the village president of my little town. We only have 800 people. So metropolis is, I think village is more the word for us. But, I know everybody. And everybody knows me, and it's just kind of fun. And what's interesting now is that when I taught tapping years ago, I have kids now who are now adults and parents saying, I made it through college by tapping, or I tapped on this and whatever. And it was just so much fun to hear, you know, how tapping has helped their lives.
And it's easy to learn tapping, right?
Oh, it really is very easy. And in fact, on my website, essiebear.com, I have some videos that explain what's happening, and I have some videos to kind of show how to deal with Essie and how to teach her. But when the parents order on Essie Bear, I also have a quick reference guide to tapping with Essie. It's just a piece of a little cardstock, and they can just take it with them. And Essie is small enough to fit a backpack, so she can travel with you anywhere you go, even to the restaurant, because it's not a matter of if a struggle will happen with the child. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. You know what? Are you prepared as a parent? Because it's going to happen. So it's kind of nice to get some skills under your belt even prior to that so that you can maintain your calmness and then help your child regain their calm.
Yeah, well, it's the whole, again, it's, we started with that jumping into tapping and what that's meant to so many people. Will you do a sequel? Will you do another book?
Yes, Effie's going to be doing a lot of things, and I might do more of a guide for different emotions for parents, because sometimes it's nice just to have, they call it a script, where you can just tap the words until you get used to doing it yourself. And what's interesting about when you're working with a child, if your child is having a meltdown, their face will be red, their hands will be clenched, but as you're tapping on yourself, not even on the child, as you're tapping on yourself, you can just see their face go from bright red all the way down to normal. And that it just loses that color. And the more you breathe deeply, they copy you and they breathe deeply. So when we talk about kids watching us, they do all the time. So the more calm a parent can remain, that's going to just ease the child into going back to that calm space.
Yeah. For you, writing this book, it seems like a labor of love, and you're so passionate about it. Was it?
Oh, yeah, it really was. And in fact, then I figured, after I wrote the book and found the illustrator, and that was such a wonderful experience. I self-published, but then I had to find Essie, so I had to go through all these different bears, pick the one I liked. And what I did is I glued little hearts on her. So one Essie bear has blue hearts. Another one has purple hearts. Another one has green hearts. So that, different, if you've got one family with several kids, they could each have their own Essie bear. Well, then I realized that these hearts aren't going to last if you have a younger child. So for the 6 and under, I had Essie bears made that have embroidered hearts, and they're all red, and then those hearts don't come off. So if you've got an older child who can handle glued on things and won't pick them apart, then my colored bears are great for them.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's brilliant to take that whole tapping phenomenon and how it's helped so many people and really drill it down into this book.
Yes, and I started to learn this in the 1980s, or I'm sorry, the 1990s. So that's when it really came about. So it's been around for a while, but it's just becoming mainstream. People are just beginning to see more of it, and I think that helps them feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, and you said this, and seeing what's, you know, my kids get through college, et cetera, with this, and people are telling these great stories. That's the rewarding part, right, when you hear the success.
Yes, it really is. And just kids need something that they feel safe and secure with. So when I did preschool, I had some kids that would bring Essie in their backpack, and she was always in the locker for them if they needed her. You know, they just knew she was there. And sometimes kids just need to have something, and she's small enough that she can be in that backpack and not be a problem, you know, for anyone.
Yeah. So, again, the website is EssieBear.com. The book is Oren Bunny Meets Essie Bear, a story of Essie Frances Thayer Bear and how she teaches Oren to tap away the mad. You can get it on Amazon. Bonnie, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Kate, for having me. I appreciate it, and you just be safe.
Thanks, you too. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.